Blog Talk Radio.
Have been anticipating and waiting for Wednesday. And some of you in other parts of the country, it's Thursday morning. So we just want to say hi, everybody. Hello and welcome to this edition of Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. Hi, Tasila. How are you today?
Hello. Hi, Brother T. How are you?
I'm doing very good.
Good.
We're going to have a really good show today. So for those of you who are on the line, if you're listening or watching or listening from your computer, then go ahead and text somebody or send them an inbox and tell them to dial in. The number is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or if you're on Facebook, if you're on Tumblr or Twitter, then just go ahead and click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila and just go ahead and listen from your computer. And man, we're going to have a really good program today. I'm really excited about it, about our special guest. And we go any further, you know, there are a few things that we do have to take care of. And I think that's right. It's that time. It's time for the TNT moment. The TNT moment is T. Meyer and Tasila moment. We've got some things to share, and let's just get it going. Sister Tasila, what do we have today?
Mm-hmm. Well, we had someone ask us on our prayer line. They didn't send it to the show, but they actually asked us on the prayer line, why is it that when I do good, evil is present? So I just want to kind of pray that they're on. And a lot of times when one person has a question, that means a lot of people have that same question. Because, you know, everybody's working hard. They're fasting, praying, and reading their Bibles and going to church, but yet they're in a war. You know, and a lot of times we're going to try to ease how you battle. But in this time that we are living in, everybody knows it's extremely important to stay and walk in the Spirit of the Lord. We say that, but if you really do have to walk in the Spirit. And Paul says it in Thessalonians 5:23. He says this, and this is very interesting to me because he says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be presented or preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as I was praying for, you know, certain people to enter into the kingdom, the Holy Spirit arrested my thoughts and said to me, make sure you pray for their soul and their body as well as their spirit. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your body, well, we all know that's your flesh. And all these areas need to be saved. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying that your whole body, soul, and spirit is presented blameless before the Lord. But if you do not put your flesh and mind in subjection to your spirit, your flesh and your mind and emotions, which is your soul, will team up and vote your spirit off the island. You can get voted down and off by your flesh and your mind. Because you can have, Satan can put a thought in and say, you know you're on a diet, I'm hungry. Or I'm fasting, I'm hungry, natural thoughts. I have those cherries in there. I guess I'll go and eat. And your flesh is like, yes, we are hungry. Your flesh and your mind come together, they could tell your spirit goodbye. And that's why God wants you to keep your spirit man built to this highest performance so that your body and your flesh, your mind and your flesh will do exactly what your spirit man says. Your spirit man says back, no, we're fasting. And that's why we still have a lot of carnal Christians, because they need to put their minds and their self-will and emotions and their flesh into subjection to the Holy Spirit. And here's where the battle and the war comes. But Paul speaks about it also in Romans. He says, I love to do what pleases God. I discern another power operating in my flesh. In other words, my body doesn't necessarily want to do what pleases God. He goes on to say that his flesh is waging a war against his own conscience and bringing me into captivity as a prisoner to sin. Because his spirit man is built up, he calls it an unwelcome intruder in my flesh. What an agonizing situation I'm in, Paul says. So who has the power to rescue this miserable man from the unwelcome intruder of sin and death? Paul is calling your self-will flesh, or your self-will flesh, sin and death. Who has the power, he's asking, to rescue me? And he said, I give all my thanks to God, for his mighty power has finally provided a way out through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. So if left to myself, the flesh is aligned with sin. But now I receive, my mind is fixed on and submitted to God's righteous principles. Some people think that because we are in this war, that the solution can only be fixed when we enter the kingdom. I've heard a lot of people tell me that, oh, we're just sinners, and we're always going to be like this and all that. But if you don't allow God to have reign over your spirit, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body, these things can bring death and stagnation to your spiritual walk. And the word says those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. And you know we see that a lot, all of us. We have even selfies. Everything is about self right now. But those who live by the impulses of the spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh, Paul is telling you, is death. But the mindset controlled by the spirit finds life and peace. The mindset of the flesh fights God's plans and refuses to submit to direction because it cannot. And by the way, no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But a lot of people don't realize that. You know, a lot of times people are like, well, Lord, he's not talking. He's not dealing. He's not, because you're not allowing him to control or be in control. You're letting your flesh control you. So,
right.
And if you're not joined to the spirit of Jesus, you are not of him. That's what the Lord is saying. Now, Christ lives his life in you and me, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since the spirit of life and resurrection lives in you, I'm going to say that again. That is so deep to me, and it's so interesting that resurrection power lives within all of us, that incorruptible seed. He will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathed life into Christ. And that's why I always say that the only requirement to enter into the kingdom is for Jesus to see himself in you. So submit all to him, and he will complete the work that he started. Evil is present, but Jesus has won this war. And I know that for a fact. All you do is submit it all and don't hide or hold on or hold back anything. Because guess what? Don't be amazed. The Lord sees it anyway. He sees everything.
Right.
You just have to allow him to form himself within you. And the word says that there are therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. A lot of people like to quote that scripture. Yeah, but there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ, and it isn't. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. It's requirements. For the law of the spirit and life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin and the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not of the flesh, Paul is telling you, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Back to the only requirement for you to enter into the kingdom is for Christ to see himself in you. I love it. It says it all throughout the Bible, but finally in Revelation 19, it says the bride makes herself ready. And then all the way in Psalms it says it, but as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. You're going to get your full break when I awake with thy likeness. Woo!
Yes.
That is really interesting to me. Because when you awake, you're going to awake with God's likeness. When you're changed, you're going to be changed into God's likeness, and all this stuff will be over with. But you got to win, and you got to do some special little things like keep your first love first and walk in the spirit. What you got to say, Brother T?
You know, that's really true. And also, we have to be careful because evil is present because sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we open the door to the evil. And that's one reason why it's present, you know. So, yeah, following all those instructions that you just gave, we've got to keep ourselves focused. You know, one thing Christians must know is that we are surrounded by evil. Evil is all around us. And many of us are vexed by the evil, just as much as
that's
our patriarchs
true. I know
in the Bible. That's true. And you know, we're just as vexed as the patriarchs in the Bible, like Noah, who was vexed in his spirit. 2 Peter 2:8. For that righteous man, talking about Noah, dwelling among them, the ungodly people in the world, that during his time, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. There are many people who do not care about the Word of God. Today, there are many people who don't care about the Word of God. Therefore, they consistently break God's laws and commandments, which leaves the righteous, people like many of you on this line, it leaves the righteous vexed in their spirits. Psalm 119, verse 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not your law. Elijah, a man of God, after he obeyed the word of God, after he obeyed the Lord and did exactly what the Lord told him to do, evil was present against him. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. And Ahab, King Ahab, told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done. You see, Elijah had killed those false prophets. Well, anyway, this is what it says. Right. All that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets, which were Jezebel's prophets, the false prophets that was lying to the people. You see, back then, the Lord, you know, you did something wrong, the Lord would kill you on the spot, you know. But he was still gracious because it was time even before that, you know, before the Lord brought them into complete judgment. But their judgment day had came, and he had Elijah to bring forth judgment on those false prophets. So he killed them with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So she threatened Elijah. He just did something
and
good.
He would be dead also.
By tomorrow. So she threatened him. Now, after God had wrought a wonder in the sight of Elijah and in the sight of the people around him, Elijah still feared. He feared Jezebel and he ran. Now, as I read this, we realize that this, we have to learn from this. And remember that if God delivered you once, he can do it again and again and again. We sometimes forget that. Evil was there even two years after Jesus was born. Evil was present. We know that Jesus was and is God's gift to the world. Nevertheless, evil came to God's people and killed all the male children, 2 years old and under, looking for Jesus. It brought hardship to God's people. Evil is present today against God's people as abortions became legal and violence hit our children in many different ways. Yes, evil is present. We are living in Satan's kingdom right now, where evil is always present. Satan controls mankind mentally by placing evil thoughts in their minds to carry out his will. And that's happening in a lot of high places. Genesis 5:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Which is why we need a renewing of our minds. Because demons watch you. They study you, especially if you're a Christian. They study you. They watch and they study you to find your weakness and your fears. They want to find your weakness so they can bring forth fear. They want you to be afraid to do God's will. You know, every time I try to pray for somebody, every time I try to do this and that bad happens to me. So what does that do? That's Satan bringing fear, saying, well, don't pray to God. Don't do this for people or that for people. You know, it discourages people from doing good. But we must keep in mind that we are in the world, but not of it. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. So don't be surprised or even shocked if Satan or a demon tries to persuade you to do evil or attack you in some way with evil. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked, all of us walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, continually works in the children of disobedience. The world lives in the atmosphere of Satan. Keep that in mind. The world lives in the atmosphere of Satan. That's why many sicknesses
and diseases.
And
I'm glad you
diseases,
said the world.
Yeah, it's the world. Yeah. That's why many sicknesses
the world,
and diseases.
Not Christians. Christians live in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was going to say. That's why many sicknesses
Uh-oh.
And diseases are airborne. That's why the air is filled with pollution. And the world breathes in his atmosphere, the atmosphere of Satan. The world is breathing Satan's atmosphere. And we were once a participant in Satan's kingdom and under his control. But now we have been delivered from his clutches. We now breathe the atmosphere of God's kingdom. We breathe God's breath, God's air. We live in his atmosphere, his wind. That's where we live now, where there is no pollution, no sicknesses and disease. Just have faith and know that.
Amen.
Stand on that.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, Satan fights to get us back under his control. He fights for control with fear, lies, deceits, bribery, temptations, and accusations. Satan and his demons are trying to take away your faith with subliminal suggestions. If he takes away your faith in Jesus, then he has won the battle, and soon you will surrender to him and fall into his clutches once again. Satan works in our flesh or in our minds where we have our struggles because he's fighting, like I said, for control. Even Paul had to fight this fight. Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. King David also had to fight this fight in his mind. Psalm chapter 40, verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities, which are inward sins, your self-willed sins, have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. These men had evil coming at them from inside and out, trying to destroy them, and it's no different now. It's no difference now with us in this hour, with us. We too are fighting inside and out, being vexed in our spirits and souls. Because evil is always present. We are surrounded in a world that is influenced and controlled by evil, by Satan himself and demons. Therefore, when you look to do good, you have a battle. It seems as if you are immediately attacked by the enemy. Something beyond your control seems to happen to you every time you step out to do the Lord's will or when you make up your mind to follow the Lord with your whole heart. Seems like something always happened. The evil is there to only detour you, to get you off track. Keep that in mind. To cause
yeah,
you
I used to tell my sister that, too. I used to say, watch out for the assignments, because you know they're coming.
Exactly.
After she would do
they'll
good.
They'll come. Yeah, they're doing good. You have to stay alert, because they want to get you off track. They want to cause you to give up the fight and give in to Satan and demons. Okay, so what should we do, you may ask? Should we fold under the pressure, or should we keep doing God's will? The answer, keep doing God's will. Though this world will bring trials and tribulations and even some persecutions, but stand on his word, which says, in Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Remember that. Remember that. The afflictions you're going through are temporary. If you're going through something, but the Lord deliver you, he continually deliver you out of all of them. We are to hold on to Jesus because he overcame the world. Therefore, we shall overcome as well. John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you. This is Jesus talking, that in me you might have peace. In this world where evil is all around, surrounding us, we have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but during the tribulation you still have peace. And the Lord says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So don't stop doing good. Don't grow weary in well-doing. And don't give in to your flesh. Galatians 6, verses 8 through 10. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Don't give up. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Keep in mind that we, Christians, are in a war. We're in a war, Christians, whether you want to be or not. That's where you are. Therefore, we may have a few battles, and there may have been some battles that we feel that we may have lost. But we haven't lost, because in the end, we win the war. And I think you mentioned that a little earlier, Tasila. We win the war. We are victorious because Jesus is our champion. He is the one who fights our battles. The problem we have in many cases is that we don't fully trust in the Lord. So we take matters into our own hands, and that's when we lose the battle. Let us come to the Lord like he tells us to, so that all of us, we can rest in him. Even during these hard times, we can rest in him. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So evil might be present, but with us, Christians, all of us on this line, with us, those of you who are tuning in and listening from your computer or from your phone, with us, Jesus is always present. Amen.
Amen.
That's it. That's it for our TNT moment. Woo! I tell you. That's it for our TNT moment, but don't go away. We will be right back with our special guests. Stay tuned.
Looking over my yesterday, I realize I should
listening to Christian Talk Radio with your hosts, T. Meyer and Tusila, TNT. Look out, TNT. So, my goodness. Oh, listen, if you want to contact us, and maybe you have a question or you need prayer or something like that, be sure to email us at Christian Talk Radio, or I'm sorry, at Christian Talk R at gmail.com. Let me repeat that. That's Christian Talk R at gmail.com. And we will reply to you. So go ahead, send us an email, or you can put your phone number down if you want, and we'll give you a call. All right? So here we are. Pastor Tusila, are you ready for our special guest?
I can't wait. I'm excited.
Our is a very, very, very dear friend. Our special guest today is Pastor Jesse Ramirez. Pastor Jesse, as many call him, Pastor Jesse, is the pastor of Set Free Ministry in San Bernardino. And he's been doing this for quite a while. This ministry is a blessing to many people. Pastor Jesse, his wife, and his crew of believers are out in the field. They go out into the world and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They feeding and clothing the people, even right there in their church. People are able to come and get not only the word of God, but food and clothing as well. This man is always about his Father's business. So everyone, let us welcome Pastor Jesse Ramirez. How are you, Pastor Jesse?
I'm doing good.
That's
Hi, Pastor
good.
Jesse. How are you?
Good. Good to hear you guys again.
Good.
Welcome to the program. Well, we're glad you're on. Welcome to the program. And, Pastor, we just want to know a little bit more. You do so much. Where's all this energy coming from, you know? And so just go ahead and take us back to the beginning. You know, even if you have to go back to when you were a kid, but let us know your journey.
Well, what it is because I walk by faith, and as soon as I read something, I believe it. You know?
Yeah.
I was really young.
Yeah.
I was young when I got called by God. I think I was like 6 years old, and I was in a Pentecostal church, and they called me up, and I didn't even know what it was to anything about Jesus or God. They prayed for me. They laid hands on me when I was little, and then I walked away, did my own thing, and then I ended up where I didn't want to be, called out to God, and that's where he just delivered me from everything I was going through. But the Word of God, the Bible says it's living and active, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So as a living and active word, it's like as soon as I read it, it's living and activates something inside of my soul and in my heart for him and his kingdom, you know? So it's like it lights a fire in me. So, but when I read the word, I believe it, and I go out based on what that word says, whatever God tells me in his word, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
So you were 6 years old when the Lord started dealing with Pastor Jesse?
Yeah, I was really young. I had some aunts and uncles that didn't go to church all the time. I think they were just going just to, you know, please their own family members and make them happy. You know, sometimes people do that.
Yeah, that's true.
It was such a blessing because they just surrounded me and laid their hands on me, and I was crying and stuff like that. And they're all speaking in tongues because it was a Pentecostal church. It was such a beautiful time, but then I forgot about it, didn't even think about it, didn't walk in it, and then, but you know, I think God does that sometimes when he chooses you, you know, it's just like, you know, it's just like he marked me or just, you know, set me aside for something else that I was going to be doing later on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
that's true.
And then I think that what happens is the enemy tries to come along and steal and stop everything God has planned for you.
Yeah.
You know, throws a wrench in it.
Yeah, he always does. That's, the Bible says in Ephesians, if I can read like two verses, it says,
yes,
you can read as many
as
you like, Pastor Jesse.
Okay, it says, this is what the Bible says. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Mm-hmm. I started my own church like in 2003, and I've been pastoring this church and just walking by faith every day. But one of the big things I've seen for Christian believers and why so many things happen is because they're not prepared. You know, they're not prepared mm-hmm. with the Word of God. They're
right.
not prepared in prayer. They're not doing anything the Bible says. You know, they're not being a forgiver. But, you know, as soon as we start walking away from the Bible principles, we die. You know? The more you continue to feed your flesh, like you guys were saying, the more you continue to feed into what the devil wants you to do. You know, that's the only way to, that's why it's a living word. That's why, you know, it's important to read that word, because you get your life back when you read it, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
That's true.
You know,
that is so true.
It's the unprepared and uncommitted. If you aren't committed to what God has for you in this life, then it's never going to work for you. Because it's not a thing, it's not a religion, it's a way of life. You know, it's now, it's a new life in Him, you know? So it's like,
hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. But I think I would push mute. I'm sorry. But it's,
no,
it's
okay.
Given, I'm sorry. But the Bible that says that if anyone is not willing to keep their hand on the plow, if they look back, they're not worthy to be my disciples, you know? So it's like God wants committed people. He wants people that love His word. He wants people that love to worship and praise Him. He loves people that continue to seek His face and want whatever He has for them better than anything on this earth. You know, the Bible in Proverbs, it says, seek me bet more than you seek after gold. So it's like, that's what I've just, you know, I've tasted and see that the Lord is good, and I'm addicted to everything that He has for me, and I just want more and more and more. And I just, you know, once I get it, now I got to share it with somebody else. So that's what I do there, you know, because the Bible says love your neighbor like you love yourself. And that's what we do there. We love people the way that they are. If however they come in, if you need help, we help them as best we can with whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And if God gives it to me, I'm going to give it to you. That's why we do what we do. We give clothes and food. Because the Bible says in Matthew, it says, if you see me hungry, if you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me. You know?
Right.
Right.
We're serving Jesus by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Making Jesus number one.
Amen. So then you said that after a while you had kind of forgotten, you know, about everything when they laid hands on you. You were real young. So what happened to bring you back or you know, to cause you to come back to the Lord?
My uncle, he was a Christian and a believer, and he was in the military. And he's like, man, you're going to go to church and you're going to start going with me. And I was like, I'm not going. And he was taking me to Calvary Chapel, you know, because they were on the radio and doing all kinds of stuff there. And
right.
I was like, and so I was going because I forced to go, and then it changed my life because it was like, but I didn't really get that type of church there. So I just kind of searched around for one that God wanted me to go to and then set free. And I think it was started in Riverside. And then I just found that church in Riverside and just was attending for a while and started my own out here in Highland. So, but we go all over the place. We go all over the place reaching out to people that are in need. So,
yeah, I know you guys are on the move, man, on the move, and you have some dedicated people, beautiful people that's working with you, you know.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, man. Straight out beautiful. And so now, what's going on now? What's anything new that you're doing, or are you just still continuing with what the Lord had led you into? What's happening now?
Well, we still being faithful with what God has called us to. You know, it's just, you know, just like everybody else, there's always going to be a temptation or a fear or something like that's going to be popped up. But that's what we got to just, you know, the Bible says cast down every high thing to try to exalt itself against the Lord Jesus. So that's what we got to do, you know, just continue. If anything pops up, nope. If that's not God's will, if not according to his word, nope, that ain't, you ain't getting no residence here, Satan.
So Pastor Jesse, a set free is a deliverance ministry, right?
No, it's a non-denominational.
Yeah, it's non-denominational, but it's for deliverance.
Not really. It's a church with a discipleship. Yeah, what it is that we do, we have
send out others.
Yeah, what it is that the people that want to get off the street that we come across in parks or something like that, we have a place that we can send them to, which is a free place, which it's a Bible boot camp, which they go to for 30 to 60 days. And then after they do their time there and, you know, get their, because they do John 3:16, Romans 1:16, they have memory verses, they have pastors that go out there and teach them the word. And then after they do that, then they come back, I have a home, men and women's home they stay in, and that's where they come out and they help me do the stuff that we do at church.
Right, and then they become ministers. And we've sent some people, we've sent some people before to you. It's unfortunate sometimes people don't want really help. They get in, they stay for a while, and then they leave the program.
That's insane. They it's their commitment and their dedication to what God wants them to do for themselves. You know, it's like, but you know, it's just they just have to continue to keep pushing into what he wants rather than what we want. You know.
Yeah, we had a family that the mother and the father were on drugs. And if you could, when you open a door, you couldn't even walk in. And then the kid came home from school, and you wouldn't even believe he had the whitest gym shoes, the creased up pants, the white shirt. He was so clean, and his hair was cut so perfect. But both of his parents were, you know, bound. And so we were trying to separate them, and we sent one to you and another one to another place, and he got out, and he came over there to your place and pulled her out.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't win, mean, you know. Go ahead.
I know that you have a lot of adventures, you know, you know, on the road of helping somebody and different things happening. I know that you have a lot of adventures with different people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that you have to do is you just got to be patient with whoever it is that God gives you, and love them the way they are.
Yeah.
Love them the way they are, and teach them the word every day.
And then watch them grow.
Yeah, and you do show a lot of love with your congregation. We've been to your church a few times, and each time we come, we're greeted with a lot of love and family oriented. Nice, beautiful situation that you have, and I'm glad that the Lord is blessing you and moving you forward in the things of the Lord. Just moving you forward, man. It's so beautiful to see you guys at work. I'm telling you, it's beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back with Pastor Jesse. And just remember that when you give your heart to the Lord. Don't give part of your heart. Give all of it. Because believe it or not, he wants it all.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for hearts that will love him, longing for child that will give, and they're all give it all. He wants it all. And there's a guy that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give, and they're all give it all. The guy that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate. He's longing for a child that will give, and they're all give it all. He wants it all, and he said, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all.
Something that I had to learn when I first came to the Lord, that we can't have stuff. He wants all. He wants it all. Now, I remember going to a church and receiving the Lord in my life, and I said yes to him, but then as time went on, you know, you kind of slipped on back into the world again. And then he called us back again, called me back again. And this time I was determined to give him my all, and that's exactly what happened. So, Pastor Jesse, how did you and your wife meet? Let's talk a little bit about your wife. She's such a sweet person and very sweet spirit. And tell she loved the Lord. How did you guys meet?
She was going to church with us at a Set Free church in Riverside, and she was, I was trying to be a good man. I wanted to be a good, godly husband, and so what I did is sometimes guys choose too early and they pick the wrong one, and then they break up and fight and all kinds of stuff. So I prayed and I said, God, whoever you want me to have, I want to have. And then I asked God for certain requirements. I said, I want to have curly hair, and I want her to be able to cook. And so I prayed, and all of a sudden, the next day, my wife was walking to church, and one of the songs I was listening to is one of these bands that's a rock band, and it's called I Want a Faith Like That. And it's a Christian song, but they're singing about seeing open eyes and stuff like that. She walked in, and I was like, oh, God, you're just she was singing my song to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, here we go, God. So I just approached her and said, how you doing? And I asked her, do you have a prayer partner for today? Because we were doing prayer and Bible study together at the same time, and she was on board. And then we just went out for drinks and food and stuff like that, and we just kept on seeking after each other, and then we just got married after about 2 years of dating. So.
Let's get now. What's her name?
Her name is
Jolie.
Tell
everybody her name.
Yeah, her name is Jolie, and she's from Belize. She's Belizean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And every pastor, every man of God needs a strong woman of God. Working as a team. And working as a team, when you work as a team, then a lot of things get done. A lot of the things pertaining to the Lord gets done, and I see you guys work very well as a team. And I know how that works. Yeah, that's good, man. That's very good. A team. So now you got your I guess your deacons or elders. You got a lot of your other people that now were they trained up under you, that you trained in your church and your ministry, because a lot of them we came across some very strong people in the Lord.
It's just looking for the qualities that the Bible says. One husband and one wife. Not greedy for money, self-controlled, someone who's proved himself, someone that's not like, sometimes I've given somebody, access to do stuff, and sometimes they just don't perform right or weren't ready for the spot. So it's got to, you got to pray, make sure that the church and everybody's ready. So we bring them in and say, are you ready to do this? And give them an opportunity to shine. And sometimes but the Bible says it's because there's not one calling. The Bible says there's the prophet, the priest, the pastor, but there's all kinds of different gifts that God gives. So if I'm trying to put somebody in the box and God doesn't want them there, I can't, make them do something. So that's why it's got to be God called person, so it's like the right time, right person to, so whatever the ministry is that it's going on for.
Yeah, because the character has to meet the gift. And that's what a lot of people don't want to change their character. They just want the gift, and they want to do the works, or they want the positions. But their character, they don't want to allow the Holy Spirit to work on them. They don't feel like they have to be kind and have brotherly love and forgiveness and peace with mankind, all those things. But yet they want to do ministry and they want to do things that pertains to gifts, but they don't allow God to build his character within them.
Yeah.
And that has to be all met together. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How the Lord does that.
And there's a lot of people that feel the call of a pastor, and the first thing they want to do is have a big church, because they're looking at their dreams of having a big church and traveling and powerful ministry and all that, and that's good, if that's what the Lord wants for you. Many times the Lord will just place people under you to see if you're faithful in a little. And if you're faithful in a little, then he gives you more. And if you're faithful with that, he gives you more and more. And that's how we have to look at it. A lot of people want to be pastors or they feel the calling of the Lord in their life, but they may lack a few things. And you were right, Pastor Tassilo, when you're talking about love. You have to have love, especially being a pastor. You have to love your sheep. It has to be there. and you mm-hmm. have to be careful to protect your sheep and not allow others to come and try to shear your sheep, you know. It's a lot involved. But I have another question for you. Did you have any oppositions, like starting your ministry? Was there anything that was trying to come against you to prevent you from doing this?
Well, so the main thing that was really the big problem was our own selves, you know, because it's like, you know, it's always that self-doubt. Can I, you know, but that's why we gotta can keep reading that word. So it keeps giving you a new direction for each day or what we're supposed to be doing when the Bible says to forgive or show mercy or whatever it is, you know, in Romans, the Bible says do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, so that's what we got to do. Just continue. Whenever you feel like something's coming upon you, you overcome that thing with something good. And, you know, Jesus himself heard that John the Baptist was being beheaded, and Jesus didn't retaliate in a fleshly way. Jesus went out and fed 5,000 people. You know, he went and healed the sick, and that's the way he retaliated in his way. So he did it the right way, and that's what we got to do, too. We got to retaliate in a spiritual way, you know. Because the Bible says our weapons of our warfare, you know, are not natural, but carnal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what you got to do. Just fight back in God's way and not our way. So.
Because, you know, that's funny that you said that, because that's what people are becoming angry because of the conditions and the situation, and people are being put in a box. And I don't know if you feel like that, but a lot of Christians feel like that, because a lot of Christians don't want to be vaccinated. And they don't want to be forced. I don't know your take on it, but some people don't mind, but some do. And they feel like they're being, you know, forced. And it's making them angry. And we knew we would get to this time in the end where, you know, you could be. But God said, the love of many will wax cold because of iniquity. And we have to be careful not to allow our love, the love of God, to leave us. And like you said, Jesus just did something else. He tore down Satan's kingdom by going to feed and do something else, you know, instead of getting in a retaliating mentality, because sometimes we feel very boxed in with the situations, especially when it's a few of us and the world is trying to call the shots. But we know that we won. We know we won already, but it's just, you know, how is the Lord going to do this? How is he going to show himself strong on our behalf in all these different situations?
Yeah, I think that's where in Ephesians it says, pray without ceasing for all the saints.
Yes.
You know, and that's our weapon right there. That's what we got to fight with, that prayer. We got to fight the way God wants us to with prayer. That's the way we're going to win everything is with his prayer. You know, I don't do nothing without prayer. I start morning with prayer. So it's like, it's really important, you know, even just sit with God after you read his word and just say, thank you, Jesus, you know, so.
And hearing from heaven. And that is, we really push that at our church, that people have personal, private time with the Lord, because we do understand that's where you're going to win from. You know, everybody can get up and talk and say and do all kinds of things, but the war is really won in the secret place where you're having your meetings with the Lord. And that's where we tear down the strongholds and build up, and where God can move from. Yeah, we do. We kind of understand that. So I really encourage all the people out there to do the same thing. Start their day off with prayer, end your day with prayer, and pray throughout the day. You know, continually, because we are in a dark time right now. And you don't want to be clueless, you know, or feeling lost or hopeless. God gives us hope and joy and peace and love, and he wants us to continually love each other and not become so angry and disgusted with the situation, even though it's not a good one.
Or just watch the War Room. You guys seen the War Room movie?
Yeah, I love
that. Well, Mr. Cat, she's talking to the devil. Oh, you got your butt kicked down,
right,
devil. She's over
there.
You know, so it's like, that's the way we got to do it.
That's true.
That's where we tear the strongholds down, but a lot happens in that prayer closet. You tweak everything from that prayer closet. And that's where you win. When you come out, that's, you've won already. And that's where the battle is fought. And it's not so much physically or attacking people with words or calling people. The world likes to read people and get them told and retaliate. And, you know, I know that is not popular the way Jesus has it, but it works. It doesn't matter if it's popular or not. It works when you chill and you pray, because God says that you heap coals of fire on their heads when you do that instead of going for yourself. And sometimes he'll say, are you going to fight or you want me to fight for you? Are you going to take care of this, or you going to let me take care of it, or are you going to take care of it? I'm going to let you take care of it.
Amen.
He knows what
that's
to do.
That's why it's pray without ceasing, you know. Just like you said, Pastor, you wake up with prayer, and you pray during the day, and you pray at night, you end your day with prayer, and just being in an attitude of prayer all the time, and especially going into that quiet place, because that's when you step into your authority. And you step, when you go into that quiet time with the Lord, you're stepping into your authority. So whatever you speak pertaining or to the Word of God, because you're in agreement with the Lord at that point, so when you speak the Word of God from there, no matter what, it happens. Angels are sent forth to fight on your behalf or fight for whoever you're praying for. And it's a lot of authority there. And it's the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us to use use for only one reason, and that's to glorify the Father. So when he gives us our when he gives us his authority, we only use it to glorify the Father. And sometimes people misunderstand that. They use it to glorify themselves. And then that's called misusing the gift. And we can't misuse God's gift. The more you stay in agreement with him, the more powerful he makes you in his word. So, yeah, the praying is
well, we've been getting
thing.
A lot of people. It is calling, and a lot of people have been attacked. You know, they're asking for prayer because they are being mentally attacked by the enemy. It's something a lot of people don't want to talk about, but we get the calls and we know it's true. So what do you say, Pastor Jesse, when people are being attacked by the devil mentally?
Well, for my own self, like I sometimes when I can't sleep or I'm tossing and turning at night, number one thing is like I remind myself of who God is, you know, and how powerful he is, and that he created the heavens and the earth. And there's nothing out of control when he's in control. And, you know, the Bible even says that even dark is not darkness, is for him. So if I know he controls everything, he runs everything, and even dark is not dark for him, if I'm in the dark in my room, he's there no matter what situation, no matter what it looks like. So what I do that helps me is I just read the Bible or I pray, you know, or I just give it to him. Say, here you go, Lord, I can't handle this, or I'm not going to deal with this, or I, you know, I pray, Lord, help me to get to sleep so I can get a good night rest. But one, you know, the Bible says those who keep their mind on him shall have perfect peace. So if, you know, just reading the scriptures, just having something as a, because those fiery darts are going to come to try to mess you up for tomorrow so that you won't be prepared, or you be tired, or you be too tired to do anything. Because, you know, the, when you're tired, you don't do nothing. So it's like being tired sometimes is like, you know, it's a trick of the enemy to try to stumble you.
Wear you out.
And fall on your own. Yeah, so.
Wear out the
If you're not alert or active or doing God's will or doing something for him, you're taking time from God's kingdom for your own personal self. So it's like, you know, that's what I do. I just read the word and pray.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I kind of tell people to praise, to find their favorite song and start singing it, their favorite love song to the Lord, and sing it to the Lord, because then the Lord inhabits the praises. And he fights when he comes in. And next thing you know, that thing is gone. Whatever.
That's good.
It is.
Yeah.
Sing your favorite love song to the Lord and let him fight that battle for you. Because sometimes you're so weak and tired, you know, and you're like, well, your mind is everywhere. Just sing, focus on him and sing your favorite love song to him. And then he will inhabit the praise, come in and disperse the works of darkness, get rid of it for you. That's just something for those out there who's having a little trouble. Because, you know, and what Pastor Jesse said also, read. You can't let your spirit man die out. You have to keep it filled and sanctified. And that's how you are sanctified, through his word. Continually read. And
because
we are in a battle.
Yeah, we're in a battle. And the reading of his word is food. Because we have to remember, we read the word, we stay in communion with the Lord, and we keep our relationship, because God's plan is for us to become the Word made flesh again, so that we can go out into the world and be his greater works people. And that's exactly what we have to do. And do you think you're not going to have any opposition? The main fight that we're fighting is the battle within. That's the main fight that you're going to fight, is the battle within. So we keep ourselves prayed up and fasted up, armored up, the whole works, so that we can prevail for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was a nice little mouthful. I hope everybody got something out of what we're talking about tonight. It's just the basic, the simple things that God wants us to do. The simple things that make us strong. The very simple things, you know. And sometimes people don't want to, you know, just do the simple things for the Lord, because it's a more of a blessing for you when you do that. Pastor Jesse, what do you have to say about people that might be suffering from unforgiveness? You know, there's a lot of people that's had wrong done to them, and really, really some bad things happening to them, and they want to get closer to the Lord, but they're having a hard time forgiving. Is there anything that you would like to say concerning that?
There's always going to be stuff, like you said, that happens on this earth because, you know, the Bible says that the whole world lives in the lap of the wicked one, you know. So, but not only that, but once you forgive somebody, we have to understand that depending on their own hearts could be hard, you know. So once we forgive,
right.
we don't want to keep drinking the same poison over and over and over, waiting for someone else to die. So that's why it's important for us to just let it go. Some stuff so big and some things that happen to people is just outrageous that happens to Christian people. You know, it's just and sometimes it seems like you're letting the guy get away scot free. But
right.
That's why you just got to do it anyways. You got to walk by faith in every step and every word that they ask you to do, you know. And once you do, then you find freedom, real true freedom, because, you know, the Bible says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you, you know. So when you cast your cares on him, he picks you up and carries you.
That's right. That's right. Faith.
Yeah.
Casting your cares, totally trusting in him. You know, and I think that's where a lot of Christian people fall short. You know, that you love the blessings, but when it comes to doing our part to hold up the end of the covenant that we have with the Lord, sometimes we lack, and we lack out of selfishness, you know. But really having that faith in God and really and it is hard having faith sometimes because you're not looking at the situation. You're keeping your eyes on the Lord. And then sometimes your eyes will drift off to the situation, and then you have to fight to get back to having your eyes on the Lord. So it can become a battle, but once you've conquered that battle, then you learn that sometimes you have to learn from trial and error that you, well, I should have trusted in the Lord all along, you know. You learn from trial and error, but after you do it, then you see the place that you're in. And then that's the place where you stay, that place of faith, walking by faith, not by sight, trusting totally in the Lord, having full confidence in him and living in that place. And you know, once again, the Lord gives us many situations where we gain power, and we gain power when we do that, when we put our full faith in the Lord, our full trust in the Lord, when we spend that quiet time with him, talk to him, because he will talk back. And when we do these different things, communing with him and developing a strong relationship with him, then we start getting power. Because we get the power because our faith and confidence in him increase. And God is moved by our faith. If our faith is strong in him, he moves on our behalf. And that's where your strength is, you know. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I agree.
But it is important to forgive, and a lot of times, and you know, it's funny when people are hurt by someone that they really love, like a family member, it seems that it's harder for them to forgive than a person in the street. And I noticed that with people, you know. They really hold on to it because someone in their family, but that is really one of the ones that the enemy has created because he wants to separate families and husbands and wives, and because he already know about the power of agreement, that when we come into one accord and into an agreement with each other, like Jesus said, if two or three ask anything in my name, they shall receive it. So what does the enemy do? He comes and he keeps people in discord so that they won't be able to come together, two strong, faithful, believing people, you know, and it, it just amazes me how it could be two family members and they both say that they believe in God and that they trust God, but then they can't come together and pray together because they have aught against each other that the enemy has sown to keep that separation. So I just think that is real important to be alert and aware how Satan tries to get in and tries to destroy the one accordness and the unity that God has set in place with Christians, you know, and especially with family. Be careful with your family because they can hurt you really bad, but those are the ones you really should forgive. Forgive them immediately and let it go. Practice immediate forgiveness. I think that it's good to practice immediate forgiveness with everybody because that way you don't have any, you know, you don't have to hash it over, go over it, and keep it all stuck in. It's for your own goodness anyway, your own self. You know, it only is good for you. Yeah, you can destroy your innards with sicknesses, diseases, and block your own blessings for not just from not forgiving. Because it's one of the things that God says that we have to do. It's not whether you want to or not. It's like love. It's not whether you want to love or not. You have to. And if you don't, you better find it. You better ask God to give it to you. Ask God to give you forgiveness. Ask him to give you love. Because you, it's not something you can go around without and decide on your own that you're not going to love them and you're not going to forgive them. You just can't do it. You're not practicing Christianity at that point.
Yeah, in Corinthians,
you're in your own self-will.
Yeah, in Corinthians, the Bible, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church and he said, because you guys have lawsuits against each other, you're already wrong. He said, why not just forgive that person and be wrong? It's okay to be wronged by someone else who was a Christian. Just let it be a wrong and let give to God, you know, give that charge to God, you know. He says,
let him take care
very
of
effective. Yeah, there you go. He says, why not be wronged? Why not be cheated? So... It's okay.
Yeah, why you can't
way.
Take the loss? Why you can't take the hit? And guess what? I used to say that all the time. Lord, why do I have to? He's like, because you represent me. Go do it.
Yeah.
Why do I have to be the one? Because you do. Everybody has to be. It's your job to go and forgive and take the loss, take the hit. Take one for the team. You don't have to get the gain out of it all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good. And I like that when you said, why do I have to be the one? And he said, because you represent me. And we are to follow Jesus' example, you know. And we do have to do the things the way the Lord does. But our pride gets in there, and that's what stifles a lot of us from moving forward in the Lord. That's our very own pride. Sometimes we're an enemy to ourselves. You know, many times I had to rebuke myself, and rebuke means to correct. I have to correct myself, you know.
So, oh, God. Yeah, that's funny,
that,
but it's true.
Yeah, can you imagine that, Pastor Jesse? T-Meyer, I rebuke you. but it's necessary, and I would advise everybody, rebuke yourself. If you're getting out of line, and you know in your heart you want to walk with the Lord, you want to be with the Lord. You want to be strong. In the Lord, and you want to be used by the Lord. So many times you're going to have to rebuke yourself and get yourself back on track. Even David said, I will strengthen myself in the Lord. Let me encourage myself in the Lord. Because sometimes you might feel a little weak and you can't always look for other people to encourage you. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself. because he's put it in
and,
you.
And, you know, a lot of times people like to be right. Sometimes it's, you don't have to be correct. You don't have to be the
mm-hmm.
one to be right. You don't have to be right all
right.
the time. You know, one time it was like, was more than 25 ladies that I worked with, and they were all Christians. And it was an incident that happened, and in the end of it, everyone said, I'm going to pray about it. Yeah, we're all going home. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm praying about it, too. So when I got home, I said, Lord, when you have 25 people and they all think they're right, which one do you listen to? It was my question, because everybody thinks they're right and they're all Christian. And he said, the one that does my will.
Mm-hmm.
So
Amen.
whoever follows my instructions and do my will. So the next day you have people coming back saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. God showed me I was wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you know something
because.
With that? The person that comes to you and say, the Lord showed me I was wrong, and they apologize to you, that made them right. At that point, they were wrong,
mm-hmm.
but now they're right because they did the right thing. They came and they apologized, and they heard the word of the Lord. They heard the word. They got convicted in their heart. They heard the word of God or either a strong impression from the Lord to come back to you and apologize. And once you are obedient and you do that, then you are in good standing again with the Lord. You're right
mm-hmm.
at that point, you know.
You're right
Pastor Jesse,
with God.
In right standing with God. So, Pastor Jesse, I want to ask you if you would, we got just a few minutes left. I want to know if you would just say a prayer for our listeners out there.
Sure. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Lord. I just want to thank you so much for this beautiful sacrifice that you had on the cross that gave us divine acceptance into your side and your loving kindness forever. Lord, we ask that you just continue to watch over those who just are getting to know about you, Father God. I ask that you just continue to put your hands around their minds and just protect them so nothing that's not of you won't get inside their brains that will corrupt or pervert or stop them from following after you, Father God. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. I ask that you just continue to bless more and more believers that want to come and hear about what Jesus has to say on this show, Father God. I thank you for the love of Pastor T and his beautiful wife that continue to shine Jesus to people that need him. I ask that you just continue to bless the show with whatever it is that it needs, whether it be physical, spiritual, or financial, Father God. I ask that you just continue to bless those who are in need of a word, Father God, or some encouragement or some uplifting or some truth from his wife, word of knowledge, Father God. I ask that you just continue to do your thing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And also, I would like to pray for your ministry, Pastor Jesse, that you guys keep moving forward, that the Lord will protect you and your wife, your children, and the congregation, that a covering is placed over you, especially as you go out and continually minister to people. Bring many souls into the kingdom of God. So bless them, Lord. Bless the ministry. Bless the pastor. Let your spirit be upon them, Lord, and let them move forward in you and be successful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be so for the glory of God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jesse, for being a part of the program. We really enjoyed you. We praise the Lord for you and the work that you are doing. And your congregation and your family, what you guys are doing, you're continually working, and you do it nonstop, and I just praise the Lord for that. Thank you all for tuning in to Christian Talk with T. Myron Tasila, And we just want to make sure that you guys know that we're here every week at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So check your time zone all over the world. Check your time zone. Here in California, we're 8 p.m., which is called Pacific time. So you check your time zone wherever you are and dial in or click on the picture wherever you see the post. And remember, wherever you see the post, the picture of Team Iron Tasila, and we're advertising our program, Christian Talk, and I'm telling you who our guest is and all of that, you can click on our picture anytime during the show or after the show, even days after the show. You can still click on our picture and hear this entire program all over again. So we just thank you all for being with us. Pastor Tasila, anything you want to say?
I just want to tell the people, God bless you. Thank you for listening all over the world, even those in Pakistan and all in different countries. Remember that Jesus is Lord, and we do win. We will win in Jesus' name. God bless your family.
Amen. I love that. We will win, so fear not. It may not look like it right now. Things are looking really grim, but it's supposed to be that way. The Word of God told us that these days would happen. But just remember, we win because Jesus is our champion, and he already fought the battle for us. So we're winning. Also remember that on Monday at 3 p.m., we have UCA Radio, where you'll hear music and a message. So you want to hear a nice, strong message from Pastor T and music, good music, tune in. 3 p.m., once again, that's Pacific time, California time, so check your time zone and dial in. And you have the number. Tell your friends, 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. And join us. In the meantime, everybody, be blessed. Thank you, Pastor Jesse. Good night, Pastor Tasila. I will see you later.
Good night, Pastor Jesse and Pastor T. God bless you both. Good night.
And good night to everyone. Praise the Lord.
And kiss your wife for me. Tell her I said hello. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.